Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the 2008 NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, you know it's a new season when you try to log into the computer, and it's just the security log-on in this system is full.
I think it means a new season. It means every year.
Oh, it happens every year? Well, I figured maybe it was because I've got, you know, a jillion emails since we were here with the program this time last year. I'll let you fix it. In the meantime, okay, we'll let Gary fix it over here. Which way do you want to go? Okay, we'll go that way. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook. As we debut our program for the 2008 season, welcome back. My name is John Rook, and this is year number, well, this is year number 8 for Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio. As we're very happy to be back with you again this season. It's only, you know, the good thing about football season, once you get past week one, is, you know, during the off season, for those of you that need your Patriots fix, you're able to talk to the PFW guys once a week, usually, what, middle of the week, Wednesdays, right? And you get your once every other month or whatever it is issue of Patriots Football Weekly, and it kind of has to keep you going, but you need football season to really, you know, get that fix. And so because of that, we bring you this show as well. And for those that might be uninitiated, and forgive me for those of you who are coming back for a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, or even eighth season, pretty much what we do here is we offer a little bit of a different opinion from time to time than what the PFW guys do. I've been a 16-year employee of the Patriots as their stadium voice here at Gillette. And also do the same thing with the Revolution. But I've been in the media here in the New England area, Boston, Providence, Hartford, for 20 years now. So I've covered this football team since, well, the Raymond Berry days, and you know, as a member of the working media. And in particular, have been an employee here for, this is my 16th season, 8th season, as we mentioned, covering the team on Patriots.com radio. So we try to offer a little bit of a different perspective. We operate things in a talk radio format like you might hear on your local radio stations, no matter where you may be, except we're talking about the Patriots. That's what we do. And things that might also be different from the Patriots, but would affect the Patriots in some form or fashion. We do enter into the equation the rest of the NFL. Certainly issues that would affect the Patriots from a National Football League standpoint. We will talk about other games around the NFL when the situation warrants. Each and every week here inside the playbook, we'll preview the upcoming week's opponent. For instance, today, a little after 3 p.m. Eastern time, Mark Canizzaro, who covers the New York Jets for the New York Post, he will be joining us here on the program. So we get into the opponents and the other team's media and those who cover the other team. You'll get a chance to hear from the players themselves throughout the course of the program. We'll have the conference calls with members of the media from the opposition. It's all here. It's all here. But the main thing we want you to know is that we need your participation. The show doesn't move unless you participate. Just like PFW in Progress, the web address is the same. webradio@patriots.com. That's the same email address. We use the same email, the same inbox, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get us here. So, if you have some thoughts, at least initially, on, if you haven't had a chance to have your thought read about, you know, the whole Tom Brady story, or about this team, or about the way this team is now being perceived throughout the NFL, and I've got some things to share with you where that's concerned here a little bit, by all means, fire away. If you've been firing off emails and you haven't yet had them read on the air, on the program, as Fred mentioned just a short while ago, well, then we'll get to those coming up in just a couple of moments. Also, in the meantime, there is a phone line available for you. If you want to call in, talk radio style, we're not going to cut you off here. We're not going to blow you up here. At least I don't think we are. Maybe. It just really kind of depends on Gary's mood. But you know, I'm interested in your opinion. I'll give you my opinion. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. It's just an opinion. You know, like belly buttons. Everybody has an opinion. So here we go. Yeah, exactly, right? There's another analogy that's often used, but I'll try to keep this somewhat clean. The area code is 508-543-7482. There's your telephone number. 508-543-7482. That number ought to just kind of roll right off the tongue. 508-543-7482. And if you dial up that number, we'll put you on the program, and you can get your Patriots question and or NFL question off, and we'll be off and running. The other thing that I really love doing on the show is that quite often we will hear from fans of the opposing team, because they'll be some stumbling onto the site, or they'll be surfing Patriots.com, and they'll see, oh, hey, look, they've got their own live radio programming on the website. And to my imagination, we're still the only team in the 32 in the NFL that does daily live original radio programming on the website. There are a lot of other teams that stream press conferences and I think some conference calls and locker room interviews and things like that. But nobody does their own original live radio programming other than the Patriots. So to that end, oftentimes we'll get fans of other teams, the Patriots are getting ready to play, to stumble on the site, and they'll be listening into our programming because they want to hear what we have to say about the team and what we might have to say about them. And that's what I love about this. That's the beauty of it. And in the 8 years now that we're broadcasting Patriots Playbook, you know, we've still got the maps up on the wall here of where we've, you know, gotten emails from personally. We've gotten emails from places like Afghanistan, several places in Europe, throughout most of Asia. But it's surprising that, you know, there's quite a bit of an influence right here in good old New England. So there are still, obviously, Patriots fans living in New England who, you know, can get the Patriots when they want it, generally speaking, in talk radio, but just can't get enough, or they want a different opinion. Well, that's great. We're glad that you're here. And make sure when you send the email, you let me know where you're writing from. You can give me your hometown or whatever you want, but where are you writing from at this particular moment when you're firing off the email? Let me know where you are listening to us from, and that would be fantastic. All right, so there you go. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's the telephone number, and our email is up and running. Oh, see, Gary, you know, you do have a future as an IT technician. All of these.
Need a pocket protector.
Yeah. Yeah, you need the geek pocket protector. All of these are still good, too, right? All right. Starting with that one. Beautiful. All right. Let me give you just a little bit of a take on the, obviously, the stories over the last 36 to 48 hours and the supposed demise of the New England Patriots. Since last we spoke here, the last time that we had Patriots Playbook as a part of the programming here, it was right prior to the Super Bowl, the week before the Super Bowl last year. And I have to admit, there's a little bit of a I don't know what the right phrase would be here. Maybe it's just a little bit of a cynic in me, I suppose, because we, you know, media people, we all have a little cynicism. I heard somebody today, and I believe this was, and I don't even remember who it was. It was a national show host, and I can't remember which one it was, so I'm not gonna throw him under the bus because I'm not sure if it was him or not. But I heard somebody earlier today on a national radio network say that what has happened to the Patriots since the Super Bowl is nothing but karma. That's all it is. Nothing but karma. I don't know if that's, you know, I assume he meant negative karma. I mean, let's face it. Fact is that when the Patriots were in the Super Bowl, it took pretty much, what was it, 59 minutes and a few seconds. It took a fluke of a miracle of a play to beat the Patriots. So if you're looking at the Patriots from outside, if you're a fan of another team, you were probably just loving what happened because the Patriots got beat by an incredible miracle of a play. David Tyree catching the ball against his helmet. It was a fluke. And so you have that happen. Then you get to the preseason. Your NFL MVP quarterback doesn't play all preseason. He finds a way to get into the lineup as the regular season opens. 7.5 minutes into the season, he goes down with a season-ending knee injury. And so because of, and let's go back a little further. Fact is, the Patriots were right in the middle of what has been commonly referred to as Spygate this time a year ago, getting ready to play the Jets, right? This is when it happened, 1 year ago. And so because you got Spygate and because you have that excruciating loss, you know, in the Super Bowl, and because you've now lost the reigning NFL MVP for the entire season, there are Patriots naysayers out there that simply believe this is just karma, that the world is just righting itself because everything has gone so right for New England that the law of averages is just correcting itself. It's just catching up to itself. And so when I heard that, I almost drove off the road. I can see why maybe a Jets fan would think that. I can certainly see why maybe a Buffalo Bills or a Miami Dolphins fan would say that. I can even see why a Giants fan would say that, even though I don't know why you would. The Giants beat the Patriots, unfortunately, as we all recall. I can see why someone who would be a Patriots hater would say that. Oh, it's just karma, you know. It's just the law of averages catching up to you guys. You've had so much good happen. You've won 3 Super Bowls in a 7-year span. You've been able to get by without any serious problems happening to you, that it's just the law of averages catching up. I happen to believe, and this sort of, you know, goes along what I just got through talking with Fred and the guys here just a short while ago. I sort of believe that what that does, though, is it grossly understates what the other 52 players on this football team have done over the course of the last 7-8 years. There have been 53 players on this team that have contributed. There's been coaching staff other than Bill Belichick that has contributed. Certainly, a guy like Scott Pioli has contributed positively and negatively, and we can get into that another time. But I'm just saying, this is a, you know, certainly I think there's a lot of doom and gloom because Brady's the focal point, and the quarterback is the focal point for any team, on any football team. And the quarterback is going to get more than his fair share of praise, as well as the quarterback is always going to get more than his fair share of criticism. Why? Because the football is in his hands more often than anyone else's on the team. Whether it's right or wrong, that is just a byproduct of being a quarterback. There's no doubt that Tom Brady is extremely talented. We all know this. We're not telling. That's not a rocket. That's not a news flash. We know that when you're the most valuable player of the National Football League, you are one of the preeminent players in the game. That's why you are the MVP. And when you lose a player of that caliber, your team is going to suffer because of it. No doubt. This team is probably, I would say, a good bet not to break its own offensive records from a year ago, considering what they did last year. Okay? You know what? Even with the healthy Brady, they were a good bet not to break those records because what they did last year was extraordinary. Witness the fact that they hung a banner out in the stadium. Does anybody know this? Those of you that were here on Sunday, you saw this. There's a banner in the opposite corner of the stadium from the 3 Super Bowl banners that pays tribute to the 16-0 regular season. Now, frankly, I found that when I saw the banner up there, I thought that was very unpatriot-like. Why? Well, because the Patriots have all been about championships. And because they didn't win the championship last year after going 16-0 in the regular season, I thought that, well, it didn't count. But the fact that the team thought enough of what they accomplished last year in the regular season to put the banner up in the opposite end zone, they didn't draw attention to it. There was no unfurling ceremony. It was just hung. Because of that, that tells me that what these guys thought of their accomplishment last year is significant. And they thought that it merited because nobody else in National Football League history has ever done it. That is a tribute to what this organization has done as a team. As a team. Even though Tom Brady is out, there are 52 other guys that are not out. There are 52 other guys, players now, other players who are now, each and every one of them are going to put a little bit more weight on their own shoulders, including Matt Cassel. And they're all going to try to, you know, last year we spent so much time talking about how the Patriots love to get that proverbial chip on their shoulder, right? That they look for negativity just so they can create the old chip on the shoulder attitude, the us against the rest of the world attitude. Boy, I got to tell you, they have gone overboard with this one. This should put a chip on their shoulder. We can't win without Tom Brady. Think about that for a second. This is the ultimate chip on the shoulder of the New England Patriots. We can't win without Tom Brady. They're all saying on ESPN. They're all saying on NFL Network. They're all saying on Fox. They're all saying on Sporting News and Sports Illustrated and CNN SI and all the other websites and magazines and portals and every place you go to, radio stations, TV, this, that, newspapers. They're all saying the Patriots are done. They cannot win without Tom Brady. You don't think that that's going to just piss off a couple of guys in that locker room? Here's the other thing. The Patriots, you know, are going to take it as a personal affront, and you probably know this as well as I do or anybody else that's actually been in that locker room. Why? Because you're a Patriots fan. You've been through it. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've listened to it. Pretty soon, if these guys keep winning, you know, we're all going to pat them on the back and say, hey, good job and everything, and then they're all going to go, it's business as usual, BAU around here, right? Why are you congratulating us for a simple regular season win over the Jets or the Dolphins or the Bills or whomever? Why? I mean, thank you for the compliment, but it's not any different than any other day. And I thought that was significant when the players and Coach Belichick were on here yesterday during Patriots Monday. And the questions of the day were consistently asked, so is it a bit somber in the locker room? What's it like in the locker room? And the universal answer was, it's pretty much a typical Monday. Business as usual, typical Monday. Guys are going about their business. We're looking at film, reviewing videotape, we're trying to get better as a football team. It's a typical Monday. And unless they were prodded, there wasn't a mention of Tom Brady. Why? Because in that locker room, even though Tom is a captain and Tom is a leader and Tom is one of the best in his position, certainly in the NFL right now, he's also one of 53. And that's the way these guys here look at it. One guy is down. It's up to the other 52 to pick him up and pick themselves up. Now, there may be a few players that will have to carry more than their fair share of the load until a guy like Matt Cassel, in theory, can get up to speed and be an effective quarterback. But really, all you want Matt Cassel to do here, okay, and for all of the maligning that we've all done on Matt Cassel, years truly included here. I didn't think he'd be an NFL caliber quarterback. No way. But, you know, this is why guys like Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli and the coaching staff, this is why they make the decisions they do and we have the jobs we do. They saw something in him. Even after this horribly pathetic preseason that this team just went through, they saw something in him that indicated, you know what, he's still our guy. So much so that they've decided to, at least for now, and that doesn't mean that they won't revisit this, but for now, they're saying no thanks to Chris Sims or Tim Rattay or Joey Harrington, whose name I heard come up today, or Dante Culpepper or any of the other guys that might be out there, or any of the agents from some of these players who did call yesterday and ask if there was a spot for their client. And the answer is no. Not right now. I don't think so. I think we're pretty good. I think we're good to go. Thank you. I'll keep your number just in case. Tells me that these guys all along have thought, this is what we want to do. And even after, as I just said, even after this preseason, which was just really as weak a preseason as we've seen around here in a long time, certainly record-wise, I mean, it's the first time, I mean, they hadn't gone 0-4. In the preseason since what, 92, 93, 1990, somewhere in the early 90s. So it's been a long time since that's happened. I was one who thought that maybe Cassel would be the one cut. Not Matt Gutierrez, who obviously was. I thought the Castle might be the one to go, and that there might be some serious consideration to bringing in a veteran as a backup. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. They decided to keep Matt Castle because they still like what they saw in Matt Castle. Here's a guy that has all the tools now at his disposal. We can't make the excuse that, oh, he was playing with second and third teamers all the time. Can't make that excuse anymore. He's got all of the weapons at his disposal. So all Matt Castle now needs to do is just play mistake-free football. Don't turn the ball over. Don't force the ball into places where it doesn't need to go. Don't get the foul ball batted down at the line of scrimmage. Be accurate. The weapons are in place. You got Wes Welker. You got Randy Moss. You'll have David Thomas and Benjamin Watson. You'll have those guys. You got Jabari Gaffney. You got Lawrence Maroney. You got, Sammy Morris, who, frankly, I think is unfairly taking a lot of the heat for, you know, the block into Tom Brady for the knee injury. You know, could it have been played better? Sure. Man, this is football, okay? This is not tiddlywinks. This is not table tennis. This is football. Football is a physical, violent sport. How does John Facenda put it on NFL Films? Football is a violent sport. You know, something along those lines. Do you have that, Gary? Do we have that one?
In America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
There you go. How did I do with my low voice? I wish. We all wish we could sound like that guy. Now that, my friends, is the VOG, voice of God. There's only one VOG, and it's John Facenda, the late, great John Facenda of NFL Films fame. But it's true. Everything is true. Absolutely true. It's a violent sport. Injuries happen. The Patriots have been very fortunate not to have had something like this happen to a guy like Tom Brady over the last, you know, several years. They've had several injuries. We've seen them. A lot of key guys. But always, always, the Patriots have found a way to remain competitive when key guys have gone down in the past. And so I ask you, Patriots fans and non-Patriots fans, I ask you, why is this any different? Why is Tom Brady's injury any different? I agree he has the ball in his hands more than anybody else. And because he's the focal point, you know, things do revolve around him. But can't they also revolve? If you have everybody, if everybody else is all pro caliber, does that bring the whole team down a notch and make the team no longer all pro? Just because you got somebody else who may not be as flashy or may not be quite as accurate or certainly not as experienced as Tom Brady? I think by saying that the Patriots are done, you are doing a discredit, a disservice to the other 52 guys on the roster. And so here's the message that I would give to fans of the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins and anybody else who is on the schedule this year. Please, I'm begging you, disrespect the Patriots. Please disrespect them. You go right ahead and you can say the Patriots are toast. And the louder you talk, the louder you speak, the more ruckus you raise, the more talk shows you go on, the more message boards you spew your venom. Fine. That's what it's all about. It's all fun and games here. It's not life and death. It's sports, right? Well, to some of us, it's life and death. But it's okay. And you know what? The Patriots will get beat this year. They're not going 16-0 like they did last year. They weren't going to go, here's a newsflash, they weren't going to go 16-0 like last year, even if Brady had stayed healthy. They weren't going 16-0. The team understood the enormity of what they did last year. That's why they put a stinking banner up in unpatriot-like fashion. I believe I just explained that. They know what they did last year. And yes, it's excruciating to lose the big game the way that they lost it. And it's excruciating to go through the preseason. And it's excruciating to have people say you cheat. And it's excruciating to have your star player go to MVP quarterback go down with a knee injury. It's tough. Maybe it is in some sort of a warped way. Maybe it is just karma whipping back around to bite the Patriots in the butt. Maybe it is. I prefer to think, however, though, that it's a trend. You know, gamblers, and I'm sure many of you who like to, you know, have a little fun with whatever you like to have fun with, you understand what trends are, right? And you try to play to trends. I mean, let's face it, if you're going to play a little roulette, right, at the casino, and the ball keeps rolling into black, what are you going to do? You're going to put your chips down on black, right? Well, that's what happens here. It's a trend. So maybe the Patriots now are trending somewhat negatively. That's a possibility. I'll allow for that, but I will allow for no more than that. Trends also don't last forever. Just like the Patriots, good times. They kept on rolling for a while, right? Well, you know what? That doesn't last forever. Nor do the bad times last forever. Well, of course, unless you're the San Francisco Giants or 49ers or the New York Jets. I mean, you know, whatever. Sometimes they last a little bit longer than others, right? I guess the bottom line here is, overall, the bottom line is that, you know, if it's trending negatively right now, that's fine. It's still up to the other 52 guys on this team to go back in the other direction, and they have the power in which to do it. If you don't make mistakes, if you just quarterback the team, literally the term and the position quarterback is a manager. Okay, you manage things. You don't have to be necessarily flashy good, although if you are flashy good, that's what makes you an MVP, I suppose. But if you manage things to where your team operates efficiently around you, that's what Matt Castle must be. He must be a manager. He must be an efficient manager. And if he can do that, and the Patriots believe that he is that person, as we've already stated here, they believe it. Otherwise, they would have made a change, or they would have brought somebody into the fold here. They believe he can manage this team well enough to where this team is still playoff caliber. I personally believe this team is playoff caliber. Now, I'll tell you what I thought this team was going to do. I thought this team would probably be 13-3, maybe 14-2 this year prior to the injury, simply because I thought the schedule was weaker, and it is. It's weaker than it was last year. It's not as strong as last year, although, you know, the back and forth going to the West Coast this year I thought would probably drag them down at some point. By the time they get to Oakland on December the 14th, I figured that that might wear on them a little bit because you're going to be doing a lot of backing and forthing here. So I thought, well, okay, let's play this conservative. Let's go 13-3 this season. That was before Brady. Now, after he's gone down, I'll adjust that by 3 or 4. I'm going to still say 10-6. I'll say that there's, you know, 3 or 4 games a year that Tom Brady by himself could win. Or certainly through his talents could enable his team to win. And again, I'm not giving Matt Castle any credit here, and I'd like to. We don't know yet. Even if he comes through with one game and doesn't come through with two others, that's still one more win that we would have given him credit for. You follow me on that? I'm going to say 10-6. I think that's a reasonable expectation based on the overall talent of the other 52 on this team. 10-6 will probably still have them in the hunt for the division title. And my guess is that's going to be a bit of a rallying cry with these guys in the locker room. As I said, the chip on the shoulder has already arrived, and now it will grow to boulder-sized proportions once you and the rest of the national media start saying, oh, Patriots are done. Hail the Jets. Hail the Bills. Hail the Dolphins. Hail. You know? That boulder will get bigger, and I'm telling you, that is the chip on the shoulder that this team looks for every year. They don't think we can win. They don't think we're any good. Well, they're going to use that. That will be the rallying cry, and I think this team will be competitive. I don't know if they'll get an opening round bye in the playoffs, like, you know, I think was pretty much a foregone conclusion prior to the injury. But now, after the injury, you know, 10-6 will still have them in the hunt, I think, for the division title. I think 11-5 would still get it done. I think they still win the AFC East, if you can tell me that this team will get 11 wins. So I want you to be totally honest with me today. All right. Those of you that have already emailed in as the show has begun, great. I'm going to get to your emails. Those of you that emailed toward the tail end of PFW, I'm going to get to as many of those as possible. But right now, webradio@patriots.com, I want you to tell me personally now, I want you to give me what you thought this team would do record-wise before Brady and now what you think this team will do record-wise after Brady. And how much of a difference is it? And what do you base the difference on? Fair enough question for the opening day of Patriots Playbook 2008? Yeah, I thought so. I thought that would be interesting. I want to see how much you really realize that this team is going to be different. And maybe you're going to hedge your bet just a little bit. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, that's the email address, 508-543-7482. Again, 508-543-7482. That's the telephone number. Pick it up. Give us a call. Tell me. How much difference do you think Brady's loss is going to mean to the Patriots record-wise? What is now your prediction for this team, wins and losses for 2008? All right, coming up, we'll get a lot of emails here. In hour number two of our program, we will be joined by Mark Canizzaro of the New York Post, who covers the Jets, so we'll get his viewpoint from the J-E-T-S, Jets point of view. And Brian Lowe from Patriots Today will be in studio in hour number two to go through some emails and give you some of his thoughts and also to tell you about his new program that is debuting here on Patriots.com radio starting this Thursday. My name is John Rook. You are listening to Patriots Playbook.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriots-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
let's just hope they don't play this after the game is over on Sunday, right? The Yankees, of course, they play the Frank Sinatra version, right? When the Yankees win a game, Frank Sinatra is always at Yankee Stadium, right? This is going to be what? Is this Joey Bishop?
Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett.
Oh, this is Tony Bennett. Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. All right. Well, you know, I heard that during the Jets Dolphins game this past weekend that when Brady went down, or at least that you know, when the announcer was made that Brady was injured, that the cheer went up. Stripper sends a note and says his buddy was at the Jets Fins game and there was a loud cheer in Miami when Brady was injured. And you know, I don't think that's so much because people wish him ill will, or even so much that they wish the Patriots ill will. What I think is that it's frustrated fans saying, we finally got a chance here. Throw us a crumb, you know? Throw us a bone. And so that was the karma gods throwing him a bone. I still think they're going to have their hands completely full with the Pats. I still think that the Patriots, even though at least the spread that I saw today was the Jets were a 2.5-point favorite over the Patriots. And you know what? A field goal is about right. Sure, if I was going to lay the odds, I would say, yeah, about 3 points. Sure, why not? Means to me that you know, they're about equal. Home field advantages were 3. If they're a 2.5-point favorite, they still slightly rate the Patriots a little bit ahead of the Jets, if you are to read into that what, you know, we're told we should be reading into odds. I think that's fair. And you know what? If the Jets win the game, fine. They win the first one. There's still one more to be played, and there's still 14 weeks left in the season. I mean, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. As I've already said, I think 10-6 may still get it done, certainly for the playoffs, although there were a couple of 10-6s, Cleveland most notably, that were left out of the playoffs last year. I'm not so sure that happens too much often. I don't know if 9-7 gets you in, but I say 10-6 happens, and it's still going to get them in. This one comes from Kay Brooks. Oh, Kamani. Here we go. He says, do you find it ironic that last week there was an argument who was more important, Brady or Belichick? Now we find out. Yeah, that was on last week's PFW. And Kamani says, I say 10-6 and Bill becomes a supreme genius. That's probably that's the other thing, too. People don't realize how competitive Bill Belichick really is sometimes because he's so, you know, downtrodden and downcast and sometimes unresponsive to questions. And, you know, he's typical Bill Belichick, right? Don't think that this, for a moment, doesn't light a fire in him. He will be sufficiently motivated to make sure this team is supremely ready for the challenges that lie ahead. And we're all going to be thankful, I think, that this team, you know, is not facing, you know, Indianapolis and Pittsburgh and San Diego, you know, back-to-back and all the heavyweights of the league, that this is a little bit easier than normal schedule. I just don't underestimate is all I'm saying. And even if they lose this weekend, don't underestimate. Don't throw the towel in. There's a long way to go. Dewan says, well, Brady got his chance when Drew went down. Now it's Castle's turn, and I think he's ready. The Patriots are known for guys stepping up when needed. As a Patriots fan, I must say that, yes, it's disappointing that Brady is out for the year, but I don't think it's going to be too bad. I still think they will win the division and make a playoff run, especially with the schedule the Patriots have. No, Castle is not Brady, but I think he understands the system enough and has been watching Brady have so much success. I like what Tom and Bill said about the confidence that this team has in Matt. I think Matt can do enough to win. Brady, the player, is great. Now let's witness Brady the coach. I'm pretty sure that Brady is going to do whatever it takes to help Matt as well as the rest of the team. Okay, that's fair. Rod in Atlanta. Guys, there's no way I'm going to give up on the season. This team has such an easy schedule that they should still make the playoffs. Now they have the Jets and Finn, so what do you think? 3-0, 2-1, or 1-2 going into the bye week? Well, I don't know. I don't know about 3-0, although I think they should be 3-0. I frankly still think they should be 3-0. I mean, it is New York and Miami. But I'm going to err on the side of caution. I'm going to say 2-1, Rod. I say they probably lose. I'll say they lose this Sunday and they win the following week against Miami. As much as it pains me to say that, I'll just err on the side of caution. I'll say 2-1, but certainly with a shot at 3-0. Todd sends his prediction. He says 12-4. Okay. That might be a little on the high side, but you know what? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. You know, if Matt Cassel comes in and does that, if he stays away from, you know, excruciating interceptions, you know, and by excruciating, I mean, you know, you're clearly on a touchdown drive, or worse yet, you throw an interception in the end zone. You get picked off in the end zone when you're the other team's red area. You know, those are excruciating turnovers. If you stay away from those, and this team can get more than they give, in other words, they have a plus in the whole plus-minus ratio, then I think this team has a shot at something like that, Todd. I do. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Just want to let you guys know the Pats are underdogs 2.5 points at the Jets. Yes. Thank you, Joel. What else we have? Todd also sends a note. He says, Matt Cassel is at least as good as 12 other teams' starting quarterbacks. Well, I don't know about that. I think the proof will be in the pudding. Let's get in a few weeks and see how he measures up ratings-wise and statistic-wise against the other quarterbacks in the league. And I think then maybe you might be able to make at least an educated guess as to where he should fall in the pecking order of other quarterbacks in the league. I don't get into that whole, you know, he's as good as this guy thing. You got to be the right guy for the right team at the right time and the right system and everything else. You got to be a fit. You got to wear your team like a glove. And if you're not the right fit, you can still be a very good quarterback. But you can fail miserably if you're not the right fit. You got to have the right physical attributes and the right mental attributes for the team you're playing on and the playbook in which they operate. That's why they kept Matt Cassel over bringing in any number of other names that I've already mentioned here on the program. Because they feel like he is the right fit at the right time for this football team. Sean says, first, I wasn't one of the people who emailed in they should dump Cassel. And to be honest, I'm not sure it was the right decision, but I'm trusting Bill. But all of that is irrelevant. He is our starter now. As my email said, as long as Moss plays hard, all Matt Cassel needs to be is good. I didn't make assurances he would be. But I'm hoping Bill was right about Cassel, that Moss continues to really play, and that we are competitive. Would I have been happier watching us continue to shred up the league with Brady at the helm? Absolutely. But if we aren't getting our asses kicked most weeks and are competitive enough to make it to the playoffs, I'll be pretty pleased with the season. I would imagine, Sean, that you've probably spoken for the majority of Patriots Nation. Has he? Do you feel any differently than that? Webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. And again, what are your predictions for the season now post Tom Brady? And how do they differ from what your preseason prediction was for this team? One-loss records are welcome. Andy in Essex, Vermont, listening to Patriots Monday, they mentioned when the coaches met in August of 01, they agreed Brady was the best quarterback on the team. Is this true? I've heard rumors to that effect. I don't know for a fact, Andy, but I can tell you that I've heard that story, you know, make its, you know, circuitous route around the complex, and that they had decided that Brady was definitely going to be the future, and that if there was ever an opportunity to get him in, they would get him in. And obviously we all know what happened in week two, and Bledsoe went down, Brady came in, and the rest is history. Now, you know, I've heard the analogy made several times that now this is Matt Cassel's chance, kind of like when Tom Brady had his chance back in 2001. Well, yes, on the surface, that's true. But Bledsoe was, you know, an aging, more veteran-type quarterback on his way, clearly on his way down in his career. And Brady was still a little bit more of an unknown entity. I don't think Brady is quite yet on the downward side of his career. Now, here's the interesting scenario. How about the Patriots do better than expected? How about they're cruising, you know, 10-1, 11-2, 12-3, somewhere around that line, you know, and if Brady weren't out for the season, what if he's healthy again? Is there any doubt? I mean, this team is rolling. They've gotten used to Matt Cassel. Would there be any doubt at all about bringing Brady back into the fold? Taking, you know, chemistry and momentum and everything else into the equation? I mean, do the Patriots, would they contradict themselves and put Tom Brady back in there based on past history? I think it's an interesting question. I don't think that we'll live to see that this year, but I think it's an interesting question nevertheless. Julian says, personally, I feel optimistic about our season, even though Brady is out. I feel this way partly because the season just started and the team has not built its identity yet. Now, if this happened in week 15 in the season, I'd feel the opposite. We've been lucky that Brady has been healthy up to this point, but now I'm going to be intrigued to see what identity they carve out minus our main QB. My best to Tom. That's Julian in New Mexico. Socorro, New Mexico. Thank you, Julian. Ian from England writes, apologies if this was raised on PFW in progress, but I'm just wondering about the role Moss will play now that Brady is out for the season. We all know the reputation Moss has had with previous teams when he wasn't getting the ball, and I wonder what it'll be like now. Personally, I hope that Moss, as a veteran, will take Castle under his wing and work hard with him in practice to build up the confidence he has with Brady. I'm wondering whether you think this will happen or whether he will get frustrated and go back to his old ways. Well, you know, I think based on, again, past history, Ian, it's a fair question to ask, although I kind of wish that we were a little bit beyond it. But it's fair. Pardon me. It's fair. Let's just go back to the offseason here for a moment. He had a chance to go, arguably, I believe, for bigger money. The Philadelphia Eagles made a big, big run at him in the offseason, did they not? And he decided he stayed here. He wanted to stay here. Why? For less money. Well, sure, it was to catch passes again from Tom Brady. He had a record-breaking year last year with, what, 23 touchdown receptions? Record-breaking year. Was that the only reason he came back, though? No, I think the thing that really drives Randy Moss now is he realizes that his legacy as one of the preeminent receivers in the history of the National Football League will be solidified if he can also be called Randy Moss Super Bowl champion. Randy, yes, he wanted to come back and play with Tom, and he wanted to come back and play with these guys. And yeah, sure, he likes the numbers as well as anybody else does, but he came back for a little less dough because he felt like the Patriots had a chance to win. Now, if you're telling me that all of a sudden, because Tom Brady goes down, he's going to revert to being Randy, you know, the belligerent fool. Well, and I don't think that's, shame on him if it happens. I don't think it's going to. I think he still realizes that he's that close. And he will do everything in his power to keep this team on a level, maybe he'll go above and beyond. Maybe he will demand the ball. Throw me the ball. I'll go get it. Maybe he will be the leader that we all kind of hope he will be in Brady's absence. Maybe he'll develop a chemistry with Matt Castle. There's no reason to think that they can't. It's not like they don't know each other. How about that 51-yarder he caught on Sunday from inside the one-yard line? It was laid out there beautifully. That's all Matt has to do, is put it up there. That's what he did on the touchdown pass. He put it up there. Randy went and got it where, you know, defensive backs couldn't. People don't realize that. People said, oh, they threw behind him. He threw it up high. Wasn't a great pass. Bull. It was perfect. Quarterbacks are taught to put the ball where their receiver can get it and where other guys cannot. That was a perfect pass on the touchdown. Perfect. So I see no reason why Randy Moss would change. Thank goodness we have a guy like Randy Moss. You know, some teams may take a chance. Maybe they decide to take a chance on him, you know, in single coverage. They'd best not. They'd best not. If they do, I think they'll be in for a little bit of a surprise. If this team can still stay relatively healthy beyond what has already happened, you know, will they score 30 points a game? Probably not. But I think you'll see the defense with an improved effort. I think you'll see at least an efficient offense, if not, you know, glowing offense. And you'll see this team continue to win its fair share of games. And no, I don't think Randy Moss will revert to, you know, Randy of old. Howard sends his email. John, good to have you back on the air. Means football season is really here, finally. Absolutely, Howard. Nice to hear from you. Too bad the topic of discussion is pretty much Patriots fans' worst nightmare realized. In my honest opinion, the loss of Brady takes this team from the hands down, especially after seeing losses by the Colts and Chargers, best team in the league to part of the pack of playoff contenders. The division is now a horse race between the Pats, Bills, and Jets. Until Castle proves himself, I have to believe the hated Jets have the edge with Favre at quarterback. That said, I still think the Pats are in the race and have a good shot at winning it. Well, I don't think the Jets are the edge because of Favre. Favre still has to be a Jet, and he still has to make sure that that playbook is entirely understood. I'd feel a lot better about the Jets' chances as a Jets fan later in the season as I do now. I think that's a little overrated. Plus, you got to realize, Brett Favre is still going to be Brett Favre. He's still going to make some stupid throws. Patriots just need to make sure that they're in a position to capitalize. Yes, Brady was the franchise. That said, this is a team sport, and there are 52 other players on this team who are pretty darn good at what they do. They still have a great coaching staff who I believe will develop game plans that match Catchell's ability and perhaps on D take a few more chances to create turnovers to give the O more chances to succeed. I thought this team was a 2, maybe 3-loss team at worst this year with Brady. I still think they can find a way to win 10 or 11 games with the players they still have, which I think will give them a shot to win the division or at least a wild card. Time will tell if I'm just being overly optimistic as a fan of this team, but I am not giving up on them until that 7th loss goes up on the loss column. And even then, I'll still tune in to watch every game. Just like I told my 13-year-old who didn't even want to watch the rest of the game after Brady went down. You've been a fan during the good times. Now you need to buck up and be a fan during the hard times. Hopefully hard times are defined as 10 or 11 wins. But if they're defined as 1 in 15, well, then so be it. I'll be there to support the players and coaches who are still going out there every week and playing the game. That's our friend Howard in Orange, Connecticut. You know, Howard, you bring up an interesting point because my youngest is also 13, and he texted me at the game on Sunday after Brady went down. In fact, he texted me, I kid you not, a half a dozen times looking for, did they update Brady yet? Did they update Brady yet? What's Brady's condition? Is he done? Is he done? I got a half a dozen text messages from him. I'm sitting here at the stadium trying to do my job, and he's texting me like, anything on Brady? Anything on Brady? Like he was going to get the scoop, right? Like they would tell us. And then, of course, I get home, and we talk about it. He goes, well, I guess the Patriots are done, huh? It's kind of depressing. And I'm like, well, wait a second. You know, that's why I think 13-year-olds are great barometers of the general public at large, because I think we have a tendency to just sort of overblow and overgeneralize things, and that's not the case at all. I said, wait a second, you're not giving enough credit to the other 52 guys on the team. I mean, just because Brady's going down, are you going to tell Lawrence Maroney that he now sucks? Or are you going to tell Teddy Bruschi that he now sucks? Richard Seymour, you suck? Rodney Harrison, you suck? You're going to tell all those guys that? Because that basically is what you're saying. If you think the season is over, okay, the season's done, and you've lost interest in the Patriots already because Tom Brady has gone down, you're basically telling these other guys you're worthless. You suck. That's not right. That's not accurate either. That's ridiculous. And so, you know, I said, you're absolutely just like Howard told his son, you got to buck up and you got to be a fan. Being a fan is a true fan is being there in thick and in thin. And so now it's a little thin. So you got to be there, right? That's the whole point here. Jason. Hello, my name is Jason. Grew up in Fall River, but now living in crappy New York City, surrounded by Jets and Giant fans. Sorry, Jason. Anyway, to your point about the coaches seeing something in Castle. We also knew in the preseason that Brady was hurt, and there was a better than good chance that Castle would play. It seemed to me in the preseason that those backup guys were all competing for the starter job almost because of Brady's injury. So the fact that the coaching staff would still think Castle is the one makes me feel very good. It's not like they thought to keep him, we won't need him anyway because we have Brady. That didn't seem like the mentality at all. That's absolutely right, Jason. I'm sorry you're in amongst all of the Jet and Giants fans near your address in New York, New York. But, you know, hang in there. That's why you have Patriots.com radio to deal with. Give you a little bit of the hometown team feel here. Yes, absolutely. The coaching staff still thought Castle was the one. Should make you feel good. Should give you some confidence in their ability. How many times have you, as a listener and as an emailer to this program, have you written the words in Bill We Trust? IBWT. Some of you even sent that in Bill We Trust, or in BB We Trust. So why would now be any different? than those times of years past? The answer is it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be any different. Quayo, no, we are not toast, but this season will be one of self-discovery. We will all see how good a coach Bill is, how the defense can step up. But this season is going to be boring. Tom is a big loss for everybody, rivals, fans, NFL. Well, I don't know if it's going to be boring, Quayo. I mean, you know, what you're doing here is you're basically selling everybody else in the entire NFL short here. It's an opportunity for a lot of other people, yes, because it does level the playing field somewhat. I will admit that. It does bring the Patriots back to the pack a bit, okay? Yes, there's no two ways about that. That's absolutely accurate. But, you know, I also think, and I saw the guys on NFL Network talking about this, and they mentioned this on ESPN and Monday Night Football. They did this on Football Night in America on NBC on Sunday night as well, when, you know, the loss of Tom Brady was still very fresh in all of our minds here. They were talking about how this was a tragedy for the entire NFL, and it is a tragedy for the NFL because you've lost your best player, in theory. You've lost last year's MVP, certainly your most valuable. And anytime you lose your MVP player and you don't have someone like that out on the field playing and making the game good and great and giving people a reason to tune in because of your athletic prowess, well, then, yeah, everybody's going to suffer by comparison. Everybody's going to suffer just a little bit. But does it ruin the season? No. Does it make the season boring? No. Is it a big loss for everybody? Well, it's probably a bigger loss for the Patriots than it is for everybody else. But if you're just a general football fan, if you're just an NFL fan, yeah, I can see where this would be a loss for you. But if you're a fan of the Cowboys or certainly a fan of the Jets or the Dolphins or the Bills, well, no, this is no loss for you. That's why you've been rejoicing. But the season's not going to be boring. In fact, I'd say just the opposite, Quayo. I would say that it's not going to be boring at all. In fact, it's going to make things way more interesting just because the Patriots have come back to the pack just a little bit more. That's how I would look at it. Let's see. Sean says here, with Brady, 14-2 is my prediction. With Castle, 10-6 or, okay, 9-7. Brady would dominate a number of games early that Castle may only be competitive in. And there are probably at least two games that would be close that Brady would strap up and take over in the ending minutes that Castle just won't be able to or won't be close enough in late. Sean from Melrose with that one. You know, I'm kind of there with you. I'm not sure about your reasoning, Sean, but record-wise, yeah, I would say on the upside, 14-2, but probably 13-3, as I said earlier, with Castle. I think 10-6 is certainly achievable, but I'm also going to say 11-5 is certainly it's going to be doable as well. Peter says, John, do you think we'll draw CBS's number one crew of Jim Nance and Phil Sims for Sunday's game against the Jets? We are going to draw Jim Nance and Phil Sims. Yes, we are. So Jim Nance and Phil Sims will be calling the game on CBS television from Giants Stadium in the Meadowlands. So to answer your question, yes, we are. They're going to put the number one crew on this game because of the interest. Not only because of the interest without Brady, but certainly there's a guy named Favre that's now quarterbacking the Jets, which, you know, we're going to get into here in just a little bit with Mark Cannizzaro. But frankly, you know, if we had Brady, boy, think of the matchup, right? Think of the unbelievable matchup. We don't have Brady, but that really doesn't lessen the matchup much. Patriots get a chance now to have a shot at Brett Favre. Which is, I can't wait. I think it'll be great fun. And it'll be great intrigue. Great intrigue. All right, let's take a timeout here. Webradio at Patriots.com as we get into hour number two of Patriots Playbook, our inaugural edition, woohoo, for the 2008 football season. Webradio at Patriots.com. Same email address as PFW in progress. You can reach us here in the program. Give me your thoughts on where you think this team now will end up record-wise this season in the aftermath of Tom Brady's injury. Does it change from what you originally thought this year? I want to get some more of those emails. 508-543-7482. That's the telephone number as well. If you want to go at this talk radio style, by golly, we can do that. But coming up in just about 5 minutes, we'll have Mark Canizaro from the New York Post and also Brian Lowe from Patriots Today stopping by in studio here inside the Playbook.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene Restaurant and Bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Rams! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
Vinny Gary throwing out some appropriate music, I think, for the theme, right? Yeah, don't look back. Exactly right, because there's just, you might be afraid of what you see. Hour number two of Patriots Playbook on our inaugural program for the 2008 football season. I have to admit, I absolutely love what Steve Serby said in the New York Post. I don't know if anybody saw it. Posted earlier this morning on their website. But he says, there must be no sympathy for the devil when he returns to the scene of the crime Sunday at Giants Stadium. They say what goes around comes around, and now finally Bill Belichick comes around without Tom Brady. He comes around with Matt Cassel as his quarterback because Brady is gone for the season. And this time he doesn't just find Eric Mangini and NFL security waiting for him. He finds Brett Favre, too. Good stuff. Good stuff. And, of course, Patriots do return to the quote-unquote scene of the crime before the whole Spygate thing blew out last year. Mark Canizaro covers the Jets for the New York Post, and he joined us here inside the Playbook. Mark, it's great to have a couple of minutes to visit with you. Thanks again for the time today.
Oh, no problem, guys. Serby banging the drums today. We're getting rolling.
Hey, it's Patriots-Jets. Come on. We have to bang the drums, right?
Absolutely.
You know what? And frankly, from a completely New York perspective here, I don't blame them for doing that. You gotta stir the drink a little bit, and there's so many different storylines to get into beyond just the normal, hey, it's Patriots Jets, it's a rivalry week type of thing. I'm not even sure where to start. So let's start at least with this perspective. The fact is that you know, the division now certainly seems like it could be an open book now compared to what it would have been, say, oh, I don't know, maybe at this time a week ago. Agreed with that extent?
Yeah, you have to agree with that. I mean, you know, I spoke to a few Jets players yesterday, and, you know, everybody's, you know, kind of towing the cautious line, you know, right now and saying, you know, this is a team that, you know, is loaded beyond Brady. Well, you know, the bottom line is Brady's the best player in the National Football League. I don't think there's anybody that would argue that. And you take that away, even from a very good team around him, which the Patriots have, you know, and it's going to have an effect. And there's no question about it. I mean, you know, look at the Vegas line. You know, the Jets were a 2.5-point favorite in this game. You know, I mean, they're saying, that's almost saying, you know, the odds makers are saying that the Jets and Patriots are on level ground right now because, you know, as you know, the home team gets 3 points. You know, so, you know, obviously the odds makers believe that, you know, that the Patriots have been brought down to earth, so to speak. And I'm very compelled. Listen, Bill Belichick is an amazing coach. You guys have seen it up there, up close and personal. And it's going to be very interesting to see how, you know, he responds and how he gets his players to respond and the things that he does, you know, to make up for the loss of Brady. And, you know, he's going to take it 1 minute at a time. Because that's the way you have to take it. You can't really look at the big picture right now.
Yeah, very true. You know, and I can understand why, you know, the Jets players in particular, as you said, you spoke to, would be somewhat cautious because they, you know, I'm sure are buying exactly what Eric Mangini is telling them to buy. And, you know, Eric obviously has the practical experience of having been in this locker room as well, that, you know, there is more to New England than just Tom Brady, even though Brady is a significant piece to that puzzle.
Well, you know, I talked to Eric as well yesterday, and that was, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, he was on that coaching staff in 2001 when Drew Bledsoe was blown out.
Right.
Of the game by the Mo Lewis hit with the Jets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this unknown sixth-round draft pick, you know, is tossed into the Wolves. And who knows, who knew what was going to happen there? And, you know, and obviously, you know, you can't expect the same kind of thing out of Matt Castle, but, you know, you can expect the same kind of adjustment and crisis management out of Belichick, who is pretty damn good at it. Mm-hmm. And Eric saw that up close as one of Bill's assistants, and he was, you know, really just highly complimentary of the things that Bill's done in other situations. You know, with other injuries where they've had to use, you know, I mean, you know, Troy Brown as a defensive back, for example, things like that, where you just kind of start pushing some buttons, and a lot, most of the buttons that Bill Belichick pushes work, so, and have worked for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be a huge adjustment for these guys. Obviously, they're going to probably have to get a lot more conservative, rely on the running game a lot more, which they certainly didn't have to do much last year.
Right,
and their defense.
It is all about adjusting on the fly. I think you put it that way in your article, and I think that that's exactly what they're doing here. And Eric Mangini knows as well as anybody that Bill Belichick has been adept at adjusting on the fly in the past. I guess the question is, you know, is it you know, the coaching staff and their ability to develop a guy like Brady as quickly as they did, and can lightning strike twice, you know, in the same spot?
I don't think lightning can strike twice. I think. Obviously, I think good coaching goes into these things, but I also think that Bill Belichick got lucky with Tom Brady, and I think he'd be the first guy to tell you that, too. So, you know, Brady's a special case, special player, special individual, and, you know, it's going to be a huge challenge for Bill and his staff to, you know, to adjust. I mean, you know, you still have Randy Moss to throw to, and last I checked, there's not so many people out there that can cover him. And Castle got him the ball last week, you know, to the tune of over 100 yards. So they still got Wes Welker. You know, I think the biggest challenge, to be honest with you, is going to be getting the running game going. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, I think, you know, we all know Maroney's a pretty good back, and they've got some good depth there in Morris and Falk and whatnot. But the Patriots didn't really rely on the running game last year. They kind of, you know, they were so incredible through the air that, you know, I don't want to say they forgot about the running game, but you didn't really need it. I mean,
right.
They were, you know, the Patriots aren't going to be able to win games with 35 and 40 points this year, I don't think. They're
right.
Going to have to win 20 to 17 games or 17-10 games like they did last week, you know, against a pretty inferior Kansas City team, I think you would agree, would you not?
Yes, I would. I would agree. Yeah, that was a bit of a shock that the game turned out the way it did. But I think, you know, everybody went into, you know, shock mode, too, after, you know, the injury, not knowing what to expect. Mark Cannizzaro covers the Jets for the New York Post with us here inside Patriots Playbook. Let's get the other side of the coin in here, because you guys had yourself a pretty significant offseason as well in picking up some guy named Brett Favre for your quarterback. Are you still a little bit amazed that that whole thing went down?
I'm amazed on a few levels. First of all, I still have a hard time digesting that this all unfolded in such a bad way in Green Bay, this ugly divorce. I can't believe Packers management allowed it to happen. I do sympathize with them in the fact that Favre's been wishy-washy the last few years about whether he wants to come back, and you do have to kind of move on and figure it out. So I'm surprised that happened. And then you knew that the Packers weren't just going to give him his release and then end up in Minnesota or Chicago playing them twice a year, so you knew that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, he had a previous relationship with Gruden in Tampa Bay, so I thought maybe he'd be in Tampa Bay. But the Jets just kind of quietly worked pretty frantically and feverishly behind the scenes, and I've got to give him credit. I mean, you know, since the moment he stepped on the field in training camp and we saw a little bit of him in preseason, and obviously you saw a little bit of him, you know, for the first time in four full quarters last on Sunday. You know, there's no question in my mind Favre still has got a lot left in the tank. And, you know, they were pretty close to being pretty good, I thought, on Sunday in Miami. You know, they left a lot of plays out there. You know, there was a couple situations where, you know, Lavernius Coles, you know, has not played any preseason games, so he hasn't really had any game action with Favre, and you can tell they were out of sync a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But once he gets the playbook fully ingrained in his mind, and he's in sync with Coles, who's a very good receiver, as well as Cotchery, who he's already in sync with, you know, this is a potentially pretty good offense, particularly with, you know, the new guys they brought in the offensive line.
Favre was 15 to 22, 194, a couple of touchdowns, pretty high quarterback rating. Overall, did he measure up to the standards you thought he should have for his first game?
Oh, I definitely think so. You know, I think the Jets and Favre, who I know is not losing sight of this, but I think Jet fans and the Jets should not lose sight of the fact that, you know, they were an 18-yard Chad Pennington touchdown away from losing a pretty devastating loss in that game. And, you know, they also shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the 22-yard touchdown pass that Favre threw to Chancey Stuckey was, you know, nothing but pure luck. You know, it was a great play on Favre's part to just unleash it, you know, get rid of the ball under the pressure he was in, knowing it was fourth down and knowing it didn't matter if it was incomplete or picked off. So I give a lot of credit to that. But the bottom line is, you know, that somebody's got to knock that ball down. And, you know, 9.5 times out of 10 or more than that, somebody's going to knock that ball down. You're not going to complete that pass. So I think, you have to be realistic and realize that you were lucky on that play. And you know, they didn't convert a key first down late that would have kept Pennington off the field, but he got the ball back. So, you know, not to be a buzzkill to Jet fans, but I think, you know, you got to look at the other side of things, too. You don't want to be whistling in the dark, you know, down there thinking that everything's cool and all good. Because while they did play a pretty good game and while Favre did play well, you know, they left some stuff out there and they gave Miami a chance to win that game, which they really shouldn't have had a chance to do.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Mark, all things aside, is Miami that much better in your estimation than they were a year ago?
I think they're better, and I think they're much better at the quarterback position, because I think Pennington's a very good quarterback still. And Ricky Williams, you know, while the Jets did a very good job of stopping the Miami run, rushing attack, I think that, you know, their running attack's going to be pretty good. And they got a pretty aggressive defense. I mean, they got after Favre pretty good in that game. That said, they also were a very young team. They made a litany of idiotic mistakes that cost them the game, really. So, you know, yes, they're better, but no, they're not as good as Patriots, Jets, and Buffalo.
Let's go to the other side of the field, because defensively there were a couple of new names that I think Patriots fans at least would not remember, or maybe just not right now aware that there were some changes made in the offseason on that side of the football as well. I think Chris Jenkins, Calvin Pace, if I'm correct, had a couple of new names defensively. How did they measure up in their debuts?
I would say, in a word, fantastic. I think that Chris Jenkins, you know, taking Favre out of the equation is the biggest acquisition they've made. not just literally, but figuratively. Or not just figuratively, but literally. Mm-hmm. He's a big guy, 350 pounds. This guy just penetrates on the line, takes up two blockers, opens up lanes for guys like Pace, who had a terrific game pass rushing. I mean, he had a sack and a number of pressures, and had a couple good tackles for loss. But Jenkins just opened everything up there for the Jets defense. I mean, they took him out at once, you know, as they were trying to rotate the heat. They took it out there on one stretch and on a series, and Ricky Williams got like 7 yards, and Ronnie Brown got 6 yards, and they put him right back in again and just closed up the running game. It was very, very stark difference, and this is a team that had trouble stopping the run. This is really one of the things I look forward to most really about this weekend, is because I know we all know the Patriots are going to try to run the ball, and the Jets are just so much better in that area. It's going to be very interesting to see if New England can run the ball on the Jets effectively and consistently, because of Jenkins, and certainly Calvin Pace is a big factor as well.
Pace had a pretty good debut. He had a sack, I believe, did he not?
He had a sack and about three pressures, couple stops for losses in the running game. Very active. He's a big guy. He looks like a defensive lineman, really, but he plays stand-up linebacker. So he's a big guy that can really move.
Just this is kind of going a little bit off the subject, but were you surprised that Victor Hobson did not stick with the Patriots?
Yeah, I was. I mean, Victor's a solid player. He's not a spectacular player, but, you know, a pretty solid player. I'm a bit surprised. I don't think they signed him for a lot of money, so that surprised me a little bit that you wouldn't just keep him as a solid backup there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe any. Well, I'm not sure. Has anybody picked him up?
I don't think so. Not that I've seen.
So that's a bit surprising. I mean, this guy's only been in the league for several years. It's not, you know, it's not like he's really that old.
Right.
But you know, the problem with that is, you know, I don't know if the Patriots are looking at him on special teams or not. I don't think he played a lot of special teams with the Jets. And a guy like that, if you're going to be, you get into the backup mode, you know, at a linebacker or receiver position or tight end and things like that, you have to be able to play special teams to keep a place on the roster. And I'm not saying that's the reason that he was gone, because I don't even know if Bill tried to use him as specials at all or if that was even an issue at all. But that's the first thing I start to think about when a guy is, you know, loses his starting job kind of, you know, and is now a backup, particularly a veteran, you know, who's making a little bit more money than some kid right out of college that can pay a lot less money to. That's where these guys, you know, they fall through the cracks, and that probably is what happened to Victor.
All right. There is a new name as well on the Jets roster this week, as the Jets signed a former Giant and Miami kicker, Jay Feely. What are your thoughts about that signing?
Well, I think it was a no-brainer. It looks obviously like that Nugent won't be able to go this week. It might. I don't know how long this will take, but I don't think it's a major injury. But as you know, with any kicker, if there's anything wrong with one of your legs or feet, you got issues, and it's magnified. So, you know, Feely was a 90% kicker last year with the Dolphins. I think he just missed 2 field goals, and he's been an 81.5 or 82% guy for his career. And he knows Giant Stadium, you know, having kicked for the Giants. So I think it's a no-brainer, to sign him. I was a bit surprised he didn't stay with the Dolphins.
It's a bit of a shame that we don't get, Favre versus Brady on Sunday. But other than the matchup of quarterbacks, what do you think is going to intrigue you the most about Sunday's matchup?
Well, I'm intrigued, as I said, you know, what the Jets defense. Well, first, I'm intrigued to see how Castle does in this is his first start since high school,
right?
I guess so.
In a meaningful game, yes, that is correct. Yeah.
In a real game, so to speak, a non-practice game, and I mean, he obviously fared well enough last week, to get him across the finish line. So I'm intrigued to see, you know, what their philosophy is. They still try to get the ball down the field to Moss, which I think they have to. And how they'll be able to run the ball, if the Jets defense can hold up. And I'm certainly intrigued, you know, very intrigued, you know, I'm going to be intrigued every week to see what Favre does, because he's just that kind of player. He's the kind of player that when you're, as they say, in baseball, you know, when certain guys come to the plate, you know, you put your drink and your dinner down and you watch, and so you don't get up and go to the bathroom.
Right.
You watch and see what's going on. And Favre's that kind of guy to me, in the football sense of things. you just like watching him because he can make things happen on any play. And I'm really looking forward to the atmosphere at Giant Stadium. It was going to be great anyway if Brady was there, but I think the Jets fans probably smell a little bit of blood right now. And, you know, this is the Jets home opener, and it's the first time they're going to see Favre other than, you know, for 10 plays in a preseason game.
Yeah, it ought to be rocking. Yeah.
I would suspect the place is going to be humming pretty good. So, that's always fun in any stadium, whether it's a home or an away stadium. I love to see the atmosphere like that.
Absolutely. Finally then, Mark, one player on the Jets team this year that you think maybe Patriots fans will be surprised with his performance.
Well, you know, he exposed himself a little bit last week on Sunday, so to speak. But this rookie cornerback they've got playing, Dwight Lowry, wouldn't surprise me if he picks the ball off this weekend. I mean, this guy is a ball hawk. He's a fourth-round draft pick, an absolute find for the Jets. Played his first, his first NFL game on Sunday and started it, and had two pass breakups in the end zone late in the game on Pennington. I did a piece on him Saturday's paper last week.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is just incredibly mature. He's 22 years old, and he talks like a 32-year-old who's been in the league for 10 years. So he's really been a find for them, and Patriot fans should not be surprised if he makes a big play in the secondary on Castle before the end of the day on Sunday.
Mark Canizzaro covering the Jets for the New York Post. Mark, great to visit with you again. Look forward to doing it again when you guys return the favor and come to Foxborough.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the time.
Okay.
You got it. Mark Canizzaro again for the New York Post, joining us here inside Patriots Playbook. All good stuff. Good insight to the team, and I do sense that he is accurate, that it will be like going into a shark tank bleeding on Sunday. It's going to be that kind of an atmosphere, especially for the first home game of the season and the first time that Jets fans will have seen Brett Favre officially as a quarterback. And, oh, my, it'll be rocking. And speaking of rocking, we welcome in the one and only Brian Lowe.
Nothing says rocking like Brian Lowe, right?
D-Low, what's happening, Paul?
Great to be back here with you, John, another year, huh?
Great to have you inside the playbook.
Loving it.
Now, before we delve into some emails here and we get your thoughts on, you know, everything post-Brady now, I want you to take just a minute to tell those who are regular listeners and new listeners mm-hmm. to Patriots.com Radio about the new program which you will be debuting this Thursday.
I will. Thursday, right here on this very station from 4 to 5.
Eastern time.
The Fantasy Lowdown. All your fantasy football news.
Is that a little play on words? The Fantasy L-O-W-E down?
Now that you mention it,
oh,
it is.
Okay.
Now that you mention it. Very clever. You know what? I'm no genius when it comes to fantasy. I could be called a geek if you want to call me that. That's fair. I can't argue with that. I enjoy fantasy sports, fantasy football included. It doesn't take over my life, but I very much enjoy it. And I figured, hey, I know a lot of other people do too. And so I had the idea of let's let some Patriots fans chime in about their fantasy teams, and we bat around some ideas, get some guests, and it'll be a good fun hour of talking about football from the fantasy perspective. And I think there's a market for that. I'm looking forward to it because I'm a fantasy football player, and I hope to get some knowledge from some of the guests we have as well. So it's going to be from 4 to 5 Eastern time here on Patriots.com Radio.
Beautiful.
Following you, I know
I'll be your lead-in program.
That's exactly it. So I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see how it goes. We definitely want emails. It's going to be hopefully driven by emails and even phone calls with people, throwing around their ideas. I'm not going to pretend I have all the answers, but it's a chance to vent also.
Yeah,
I want everybody, someone in everyone's league took Tom Brady with the first pick in the first round of any draft. I would imagine. If you want a vent and you need an outlet, that's what we're here for, that too.
Yeah, you're looking for another quarterback.
If you want to, calmly ask questions about who to take on as a quarterback, that's fair game. If you simply want a vent and it's, not expletive driven,
right,
then you can come to us.
All right. So I'm
looking forward to it.
Thursday,
yeah.
4 o'clock Eastern time.
Exactly.
Very good. All right.
Exactly.
So now, normally, as for those that, again, that might be uninitiated, Brian is a part of Patriots Today with Christina Acra, and I would imagine that over the course of the last couple of days, there's just been a different feel about going about your daily business.
Yeah, I mean, things change. Things really change, and you get geared up for the season, and obviously this preseason with Brady was sort of had a different feel to it as well. well. He didn't play at all. And there was mystery surrounding what his status was and injuries and all that. And it just, you know, it's ironic almost that, you know, for the first time, he wasn't on the injury report as this season began, and there we see what happens in the first play, in the first quarter. So you know, obviously this wasn't your ordinary 17-10 victory on opening day. You figure you get a win on opening day. It doesn't matter how it comes. Or you remember 2 years ago against Buffalo opening day, they got booed at halftime and they still won the game. But it's opening day, you know, you work out the kinks and all that. But boy, just an eerie feeling. But you know, this is, you know, this is why you, you know, you develop a quarterback for 3 years. This is why you build a team and have depth so that, if the key guys go down with injuries, as we've seen over the years, you have other guys who can step in either at that position or guys at other positions step up their game. The quarterback position is different. I don't see how you can argue that. He's, you know, the quarterback, good or bad, is intricately involved in every offensive play. So it's certainly a different one. But, yeah, I mean, as you were talking about with Mark, we figured starting today, or really starting yesterday, we'd be gearing up for Patriots, Jets, Brady, Favre.
Right.
Are the Jets revived with Favre? Can they battle the Patriots for the division? And who would have thought that the Patriots quarterback situation would be have so many more storylines than the Jets quarterback
situation
going in? Who could have figured that? But you know what? It's going to be very interesting. I'm excited to see what Castle can do. I mean, this is not your ordinary backup quarterback. This isn't a guy who's bounced around the league and gotten spot starts here and there, and who, you know, was the led a college team to 10-1 seasons and bowl games and all that. This is a guy who hasn't started a football game for, you know, pro, college, or high school in almost 9 years. And you know, this isn't your average ordinary backup quarterback.
That's a pretty good story in its own right, when you think about it.
And now that I bring that up, let me just, a quick digression. Do you realize another part of the Castle storyline that happened on Sunday? His brother, Jack Castle, is a pitcher for the Houston Astros
and he
replaced the Astros' injured starting pitcher in the first inning on the same day. Can you make that up?
No, you can't make that up.
You know, when the Castle, you know, brothers and their parents woke up on Sunday, I mean, could they have drawn that up? No,
I don't think so. That is pretty interesting, and I did see that someplace where his brother Jack came in relief for an injured Houston player. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Paulie in L.A. writes, what was the attitude when Bledsoe went down? Did everyone have the same insecurities, fears about Brady then? I remember everyone crying and whining about the season being over. What do you guys remember?
Well, here's what I remember, and the big difference was the Patriots at that time were terrible. They were coming off a bad year, and they were 0-2. There were far more reasons to be concerned that year than this year. And I think we knew less about Tom Brady in September of 2001 than we do about Matt Castle in September of 2008, if that's possible. There were many fears at that time, and they were all legit. How could you think otherwise? They were 0-2. A coach was about to be on the hot seat in Bill Belichick, and you've got a guy who was the fourth stringer the year before coming in and leading your team. And they had far fewer offensive playmakers than Castle does now.
Right.
So I think from the sense that I get over these last, and I'm not talking about from the player's perspective, I mean overall in New England, I think there's more hope this year for what this team can do with Matt Castle than there was in 01 with Brady. I can see
that as a legitimate comparison.
At this point, and with Brady, yeah, I was looking some of this up. I wouldn't have had this off the top of my head if the events of Sunday didn't happen. You remember Brady's first game? It was against Indianapolis, and he was, you know, he threw the ball. I think he had 22 pass attempts, around 50%. Didn't throw a single touchdown. They won the game 41-13 or something like that.
Right.
And so that goes to show that, you know, a team can still, you know, have solid defense, solid
help its starter out.
Help its starter out and put them in good position, good situations to win. I think it's different this year because they're better and deeper overall.
Can I say this right now?
Sure.
It's Tuesday, right?
It is.
So we've got a couple of more days to go before we really, you know, but I will be disappointed if they lose this game Sunday.
You know what? I would agree. However, this is going to be a tough game. And I think for Matt Castle, his very first start on the road against a pretty good team, and not just a pretty good team, but how, you know, it's been 6 weeks now that the Jets have been gearing up for this day. Brett Favre's home debut. They won their game the other day. They didn't look great. I think this is going to be a tough spot for Castle, but the point is he can still struggle and they could still win the game. I think. So I think it would be disappointing if they lose. However, I think this is a losable game, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Definitely losable. Brenton, Illinois says, first thing, I think sometimes we forget that Castle will not be getting all of the reps in practice and will get his timing better with Moss and Welker and whatnot during all of the snaps with the first team. I think that's true. They'll definitely be getting more snaps and reps. I'm making the assumption that Brady was taking most of the snaps with the ones in practice during the preseason. I'm worried, but I think that they will still be a playoff team.
Yeah, well, you know what, and it's interesting with Brady and the first team snaps. Certainly, as long as Brady was at practice, whether it be, you know, last week, during the preseason, or in past years, if Brady was there, he's getting the snaps with the first team. Do they mix it up a little bit and give Castle or whoever the backup is some opportunities with the first team? Probably, because you want to be somewhat prepared. But I think between the practices that Brady missed this training camp, the amount of in-game work that Matt Castle got with the first team, and what he'll have this week, I don't think this is going to be a situation where it's Matt Castle getting acquainted with Randy Moss, Matt Castle getting acquainted with Wes Welker. I think Castle probably knows the guys on offense on this team as well as any backup quarterback could. I really do.
TG in New Jersey says, yeah, the Jets opened up as 3.5-point favorites. They're now 2.5-point favorites, so the money's already sliding on the Patriots a little bit. He says, when was the last time the Patriots were the underdog?
That's an interesting question.
Does anybody know that?
Well, let me ask you this.
Do you know the last time when the Patriots were the underdog in a game?
Last year against Indy, they weren't the underdog, were they? Going into Indy?
I don't think. Were they?
They may
underdog?
Have been. Going into Indy?
At Indy?
I think they might have
they
been.
They may have been
at
the
Indy?
Underdog. And here's another one. I don't think they were the underdog, and this was a couple weeks before, but undefeated Patriots going in to play undefeated Dallas in Dallas?
Yeah,
they might have been the underdog then.
They might have been.
I think in one or both of those games.
Yeah.
But still, you know, that's
still
a while.
Yeah.
And over the course of last year, I mean, those are really the only two games that they possibly could have been the underdog going in.
Right. James from England checking in. I'm getting really mad about all this bringing a new QB talk. What the hell do we do? What the hell do we keep track or do we keep backups, he says, for the second? If the second we lose our quarterback, we try and sign one that nobody else wanted. If that's the case, then why didn't we cut two quarterbacks in the offseason then just try to and sign a new one if and when we needed one? I say trust in Matt. He'll guide us to the playoffs and we can all enjoy watching the rookies getting better.
Well, that's an interesting point, and I fully do expect them to have a third quarterback on the roster, maybe not necessarily in the next day or two leading up to Sunday, but over the course of the season. I think you'll see that. Maybe it's Matt Gutierrez, maybe it's someone else. I generally say when it comes to, hey, let's pick up Dante Culpepper, or hey, let's pick up, name the free agent at whatever position. There's a reason why a player doesn't have a job right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason. It doesn't mean the guy's a bad player. It just means that he's not better than what teams have. It's rare that you pick up a Jabbar Gaffney. And what I mean by that is Jabbar Gaffney signed with the Patriots in October, having been cut by his previous team 6 weeks earlier. It's pretty rare that there's a guy who's out on the street for 6 weeks like that and comes in and is a major contributor and stays with that team for multiple more years. Those don't happen too often. I think if they do bring in a backup quarterback not named Matt Gutierrez, then it's very much going to be Matt Castle's job to lose. In other words, they'll bring a guy in, they'll try to get him up to speed, but even if that guy plays lights out at practice, it's Matt Castle's job until Matt Castle proves that he can't do the job.
Absolutely, and they won't bring in another quarterback until they come to that realization.
Yeah.
They won't, and, which is why the whole thing about the rumors yesterday never transpired.
And that was an interesting turn of events because you have all these reports that Chris Sims and Tim Rattay are coming in, and then Bill Belichick at his press conference said those guys haven't been here, haven't worked out. Now, there might be some semantics there. It sounds like there are reports that those guys actually did arrive in the Boston area, and whether or not they visited versus worked out, I'm not really sure, and it doesn't really matter. The point is the Patriots may have thought that, hey, let's bring in a few guys, and then thought otherwise. And they're showing some confidence in Matt Castle.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Pratt in Germantown, Maryland. Let me start off by saying I'm behind Castle or whoever comes in at quarterback because I want this team to win and to win for themselves, and it is what a class guy like Tom Brady would want to see. However, Brady also replaced a franchise QB in Drew Bledsoe in 2001. Is there any chance that if Castle leads this team into the playoffs and plays smart throughout, would anybody anticipate a controversy for 09? I know it's a crazy thought, but for me it's a scary thought, and lately the things we are scared about or afraid of are happening. I made this analogy, actually. I pointed that out in the opening hour of the program. I said, the screwy thing is here. Let's say Brady wasn't out for the year.
Yeah.
Let's say they get to 10-0 or 11-0 or whatever. Do you mess with that if he's able to come back?
And that's what we dealt with in 01. That is a great point, and I think it's probably best that we don't have to worry about that.
We don't have to worry about that this year.
No, we don't. But let me talk about that a little bit. Matt Cassel will be a free agent after this year.
That's true.
He will be a free agent after this year.
See, now I'm glad you brought that up, and I had it written down, and I forgot to mention it. But
right.
The fact is, being a free agent, he's playing for his NFL life here, kids. All right?
Exactly.
He knows that if he does what Patriots fans hope and pray he does, he is going to stick around in this league for a long time. So
exactly.
He's got plenty of incentive. And you could make an argument that he is as set up as well as any quarterback in the entire NFL could be set up with weapons
right.
around him.
If he does well this year, and I'm not saying Tom Brady 2007 well, but if he does a manageable job and leads this team to the playoffs, think about some of the substitute quarterbacks over the years who have played well over a short period of time and gotten amazing contracts. Think about like Brad Johnson. I remember a while back, I think it was Brad Johnson. Who was it that Miami signed 10 years ago?
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking Miami, the Dolphins back in the 90s signed a quarterback who turned out to be a bust, who had been a good free agent pickup from another team. The point is, Cassel might not have to be.
Oh, you're talking about Jay Fiedler?
Maybe Jay Fiedler I'm thinking of. But basically, Matt Cassel can be merely good, not very good or great, and still be in
a
good position.
More recent than mid 90s.
Yeah,
yeah.
But either way, he can set himself up really well. Now, think about this. What if he does extremely well? You got the franchise tag you could place on him. You think about what the Browns did with Derek Anderson, sign him for a couple more. There's a few possibilities. Don't worry about it, though. If Tom Brady is healthy, Tom Brady is the starting quarterback in 2009. I don't think we have to worry about that.
I hope you're right. that's it. It would be an interesting thing to think about.
And as far as the timing of an injury, if this was going to happen, how about having it happen now where he can pace himself, not worry about rushing himself back. If this happened in December, you'd be thinking he'd be cutting it close as far as his rehab to be back for training camp. At this stage, given there's 10 months until training camp begins for 2009, he can sort of go at a smooth pace in his rehab and still be hopefully still be ready to go in 09.
Right, that's true. Rachel in Manila writes, there's a sentiment now that if Brady, by the way, Manila, that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
We've had a couple of Englands and Manila, Philippines.
Yeah.
There's a sentiment now that if Brady had only participated in the preseason workout, that he could have strengthened his knees and thus could have possibly avoided his injury. I also heard that Brady suffered the injury that prevented him from participating in the preseason workout during his surfboarding vacation with Giselle in Costa Rica. So the bottom line is he wasn't focused enough with football. Some people are also saying that maybe Brady's time off from football would motivate him and bring back his focus to football again. Maybe he'd start being competitive again. What do you think?
I don't think much of too much of that. The surfing, I have no idea. I mean, I it seems far-fetched to me.
Can I also throw something else in the equation?
Sure.
While I'm not sure I really agree with what Rachel says, I mean, I believe her. She probably did hear it from somebody. I would also argue that the fact that he's now a father changes everything in his life from here on out. Fact is, now he's got a son at home that he has obviously a great deal of interest in, wants to spend time with, wants to raise, and be as involved in his son's life as best as he possibly can. And knowing from a practical purpose and experience, and those of you who are parents, from where I speak here, having a child does change you.
Sure.
And your priorities do change. Now, I don't know if that makes you any less focused in your job. Hey, I've had children now for my oldest is almost 22, and I've been in this business for 30 years. So has it changed my focus? Not really. But has it changed my approach? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And
because you reprioritize.
Right. And I think, Tom Brady isn't the first NFL player to not fully participate in his team's offseason program for whatever reason. And that's not a crime. It's just that he kind of set his own bar over these last 7 years where he was here all the time and won that parking spot and all that. If things change in his life this year, he turned 30 years old last year, so be it. I think that's fine, and that's all fair game as long as he, understands what his job is and what his duties are to this team. And I think he's fulfilled them. Now, whether or or not he went surfing and had an injury, or whether or not his lack of participation in team activities led to having an injury, I don't really buy that. I'm not qualified to talk about that, really. But, when I saw the hit that took place, I don't think that working out every day during the off season, whether he did or didn't, was going to contribute to that injury. Could it contribute to, how he rehabs? Maybe. But he got hit, and that was the, that was the outcome. I don't think what he did in the off season played much of a role in that. But if those, if those reports are out there, hey, you never know.
Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia. For me, I'm really proud of how I've handled this blow. If this were last year,
he's proud of himself.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think some Patriots
credit fans
should be. Yes,
give yourself credit if credit's due.
He says, if this were last year, I'd be so depressed, dejected right now. But after losing the Super Bowl, I went through a lot of soul searching, decided that the level at which I had invested myself into this team and this game was unhealthy. I mean, after the Super Bowl, I felt like someone had died. I think we all kind of felt like that, to be honest with you, Murray. Yeah. But I realized something after last year. This is just a game, and even though it's one that I love, there are far more important things in life. I still love it, but I don't get as emotionally invested in it as I once did. My primary concern is Tom's health. I hope he makes a full and speedy recovery and is able to get back and play the game that he loves. My second concern is to let Matt Cassel know that he has the full support of all the real non-bandwagon fans out there. Mm-hmm. I hope if you see either of them around the stadium, you'll pass these sentiments on. Oh, and while you're at it, stop being. Oh, they were being hard on Eric, I think, during the PFW.
No.
Conference. Yeah.
No.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
I don't believe that. I need evidence. I need evidence of that.
I got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
That's all. Enough said. Enough said. Well, I'm sorry that it took a Tom Brady injury and a loss to the Super Bowl for, I'm sorry, what was the name of the last emailer?
Murray.
For Murray to get to find the right perspective in his life, but I guess better late than never. It sounds like he's coming to grips with this and taking it maturely, which is good, and I guess he does deserve credit now that I think about it.
Iggy in Madrid.
Wow.
No, we're getting Spain now.
Boy.
I know it might sound crazy, but if the fate was for Brady to be hurt with a torn ACL, it is actually better that it happened on week one. If it happens mid-season, Cassel would have to lead us to the playoffs, and Brady could not be ready for the 09 season because it takes sometimes 9 to 10 months to fully recover from a torn ACL.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you're going to suffer a season-ending injury and it's going to be a six-month injury or whatever, if it happens in early September, it gives you that time to sort of take it at the right pace and not rush into it, not rush the rehab and just come back strong. Focus on coming back strong.
He said, well, this is from Rob in Warrenton, Virginia. We had embraced the hate in 08. But now everybody is feeling so bad for us now that Brady is out. Okay, not really. People hate Brady and the Pats. And it would be too easy to play the Rodney Harrison no respect card, so I'm going with don't hassle the castle.
Not bad. It's interesting. People hate, talk about people hate Brady. I've seen more over the last couple days, media and otherwise, where people are saying, hey, this is a tough break for the league. This isn't.
I agree with that assessment, by the way, because if you're looking at it from a pure football perspective, you're taking out the reigning MVP of the National Football League.
Right. It's not, exactly.
How can that be good?
Exactly. And you know what? Even it's also if so many fans in other cities, thrive on hating the Patriots and the buildup for when their team plays the Patriots and trying to, just get revenge and all that. That's not a bad thing either. You want to have the Patriots being at full throttle with Tom Brady obviously is a good thing. It's a good thing for the league because it generates a lot of passion from other corners of the league. Mm-hmm. I don't think, if you're looking at it objectively, this is a tough hit for the league. And the Patriots have, five games on national TV. They have one, an NFL Network game. You bank on them playing in January and possibly February. The reigning league, this truly is one of the bigger injuries maybe in sports history. The reigning MVP who set a record in the most prolific category that his position could set in the first quarter of the first game the next year. This is one of the biggest sports injuries ever. It really is.
I mentioned it. Brian, I mentioned in the opening hour that I heard on a national radio program earlier today that someone mentioned that this is just karma. It's bad karma coming around and whipping the Patriots on the butt because you're going from, you know, losing a Super Bowl in the form and fashion in which you lost it. I mean, think about it. A fluke play, basically, cost you a championship, right? That on top of the whole Spygate issue from a year ago. And now your quarterback in the first quarter of the first game of the regular season goes down. This is all the good fortune that has fallen upon the Patriots coming back to bite them in the rear end.
Well, you know what? I don't know how much I believe in all that, but they're interesting points. How about this, though? Why were they wearing those white jerseys for the first time in 14 years?
Yeah,
Gary,
I noticed that,
know?
Too. Yeah, why did they wear white on Sunday? Do we know?
I don't think
because it was hot as hell.
Okay, I don't think they're going to do that.
Doesn't Miami always wear white, so the teams have to wear dark colors in the sun?
Generally speaking, I think
They've never done that before.
But they've never done that before, and we've had plenty of warmer games than what we had on Sunday. Why after 14 years? I wonder. Because that's right. It had been 1993. I think was the last time they had worn white at home.
And that was a throwback.
And that was they were wearing the Pat Patriot throwback. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I believe in all that, you know, in all that kind of stuff, but it's interesting.
I have no idea.
It also is what it is, I believe.
It is what it is. That's all part of the karma. I don't think they'll be wearing white at home anymore.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. Maybe they won't even, they'll try not to wear white on the road either.
Tom in Nottingham, England. I must admit, I've never been so disappointed after starting the season 1-0. It's really bad luck for Tom, but after so many seasons of never being hurt, and after last season's performance, he gets this. And it's ironic that the first time he's taken off the injury report in years, he actually gets a genuine injury. Tom brings out the certain irony in this one,
that
right?
That is ironic.
He says, is it just an ACL in which, even though is a bad injury with the year out, can he fully recover for next season? And does this do his shoulder a favor? You regularly say that you see him with a big ice bag over his arm. Will a good long rest allow him to go on for a bit longer nearer the end of his career?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess it goes without saying that when he enters training camp next year, if his knee is healthy, that one less season of wear and tear on the shoulder, if he is able to keep that shoulder strong over these next 10 months, I guess you would have to say that, that is better. It's almost like, you know, in baseball, we've seen with the Red Sox this year, they have pitchers that, you know, like Josh Beckett, for instance, or earlier with Daisuke Matsuzaka, goes down with an injury. And, you know, it might not be a major injury, but while he's rehabbing that injury, it does give the rest of the body a rest and the other, you know, less stress on the rest of the arm. So, you know, I guess if we're looking for silver linings, that would be one of them. I don't know if it's just the ACL, if it's the ACL and the MCL or where this is torn or that's torn. I think that even if it is as bad as it could be, I think he could still be ready to go for training camp next year, based on what I've read and based on what you hear about this type of injury. If it is just just an ACL tear, it sounds like there's a chance in 6 months he could be right back at it as far as full training.
Andrew in the Ukraine.
Over the map today, huh?
Is it too early to start the 2009 draft prep?
Oh.
Seriously, Matt Castle gives Belichick the opportunity to regain one of his advantages, an extra first-round pick. I can't see more than 5 or 6 wins, which should get them a high enough pick to trade for an extra first-round pick in the 2010 draft. I'm okay with that, though. The goal is to win the Super Bowl, and if you can't do that, I see no special honor in going 8-8. All that does is get you a mediocre first-round pick. The only suspense this year holds for me now is to see the potential Leinart versus Castle matchup in Week 16 if and when Kurt Warner is injured or benched.
That's very interesting.
There's somebody who has a real rosy outlook.
Wow. You know what? Listen, stranger things have happened. I don't think that this team is going to finish poorly enough to have a high draft pick. Anything could happen from here on out with Matt Castle. We just don't know because he doesn't have the body of work. But I do think this team can and will make the playoffs. I think when you look at some of the other quarterbacks who are out there in this league and some of the quarterbacks who have led teams to the playoffs or even to the Super Bowl, Matt Castle can do something similar to some of these other quarterbacks. Rex Grossman was a Super Bowl quarterback a few years ago. We know about Trent Dilfer back in 2000. There's a chance that Matt Castle could do that. There's a chance that Matt Castle can't. And it's just one of those that we won't know until we see him week in, week out on an NFL field. I don't agree with the assessment that we'll be looking at a high draft pick. However, the Arizona game in December does add a new wrinkle if it is Leinart. Too bad they're not playing the Bengals this year. It could be Palmer
exactly.
as well.
Yeah, I would like that. I actually think that would be fun.
Sure.
Jay from near Rochester, New York says, John, welcome back to the airwaves or web waves or whatever you want to call them. I can't listen live, so if you've commented on any of these issues, I apologize for being redundant. Big issue will be obviously the loss of Brady. It reminded me of the injury that Wolfork caused to J.P. Losman last year, and I have to wonder why Wolfork's hit drew a fine and Pollard's did not, although I don't think it was either was intentional. I also have a thought about a controversial issue from last year and a new take that I have about it. When the Pats were running up the score for most of the season, the big debate was why are they leaving Brady in when the game is out of reach because he may get hurt. I now wonder if maybe they should have taken him out so that his inexperienced backup could get some experience in case he's needed. I know that the games were pretty much over, but the opposition starters would still be playing, and Castle would have had some valuable game time. I don't know if they're better off with a more experienced starter that they may bring in, but who doesn't know the system? Or stick with Castle, who's more familiar with the system. I will still be watching and cheering either way. I went through enough 2-14 type seasons that I'll be able to stand a subpar year if it happens.
They're sticking with Castle. Don't worry about they're sticking with Castle until
right.
he doesn't get the job done. As far as the stuff about last year and why don't you give Castle a chance in some of those blowouts, they gave him a chance in a couple of those games. And in some of the others, they were just keeping it going. I mean, they were just keeping it going, keeping the momentum going in some of those games. And that's just the way it was. We don't have to rehash that. But I think overall, the experiences that Castle has had preseason, a little bit in regular season, training camp, offseason programs, the total package, the working with Josh McDaniels, working under Tom Brady, the total package is better than what Chris Sims or Tim Rattay or Joey Harrington or Dante Culpepper could bring at this point in early September 2008. Mm-hmm. It would be a different story if they had signed, instead of drafting Kevin O'Connell, if they had signed, say Dante Culpepper back in March. If a veteran quarterback like that was with this team all through the offseason and training camp, then we might have more of a controversy right now. If they had someone other than Kevin O'Connell, a rookie, on the roster, we might have a different situation. But Matt Castle is the starting quarterback of this team until he proves that he can't get the job done.
Frank in Old Hickory, Tennessee, formerly from Stoneham, Mass. He says, I think the team will go 11-5. The question of the day was, where do you think the record now will adjust?
Yeah.
Based on what you thought before the injury, now where do you think they'll finish the season? He says 11-5. They still have the same coaches, excellent players that most of the teams in the league would love to have, the same head coach. In the coming weeks, I have a feeling that a lot of Patriots fans will be shocked pleasantly at how good the team will play. Besides, what's with all the doom and gloom? Brady's not dead, he's just injured. He's coming back, and I'll bet he'll be back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
This season will be very exciting and fun, but wait until Tom Brady returns. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think 11-5, if I had to guess, I'd probably say in the 10-6, 11-5.
That's exactly where I said. I said 10-6 or 11-5.
And they have the fact that they have an overall easy schedule. And
exactly.
The fact they have an overall easy schedule might be somewhat balanced out by the fact that when they go into some of these road venues, whether the team is good or not, that's going to be an overwhelming experience for Matt Castle, as it will be or as it would be for any rookie or inexperienced quarterback. You can't tell me otherwise. Tom Brady going into Lucas Oil Stadium this year, or Tom Brady going to the Meadowlands, is far different from Matt Castle going in there. When they play at Indianapolis, at San Diego, at Seattle this year, at any of the games within the division, those are going to be some overwhelming experiences, and Matt Castle is going to have to really overcome a little bit of adversity. I think there are going to be some tough games on the road. I think the road slate is going to be a tough one for this team this year. And honestly, some of those road games, Indy, San Diego, Seattle, were going to be tough for this team even with Tom Brady. They weren't going to go 16-0. They probably weren't going to go 6-0 in the division anyways, even with Tom Brady. They're going to lose some games, and that's not a crime. I just think that whether you're Matt Castle or whether you're Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco, or you're, even if you're Damon Heward, who's taken over now for an injured Brody Croyle, you're going to have some trouble spots along the way, because there's a reason why guys like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, who have played so many consecutive games, there's a reason why they've played that many consecutive games. They can thrive under pressure and under adversity, and that's what we have to see out of Matt Castle. Can he do that in hard, tough road situations? They're going to lose some of those games, no question.
John in South Kakilaki says,
Where?
South Kakilaki.
Is that close to North Kakilaki?
I think so.
West, east?
I suppose. If Tom hurt his foot surfing, then good for him. Maybe he's not working out as hard as he did before. Maybe he's not putting in as much effort. So what? He's given us every ounce for years. If he wants to surf when he's on vacation, then so be it. He could have hurt his foot dropping a baby bottle or slipping on a kid's toy. I'm still looking forward to the season. We will most likely have more losses. But as everyone down here in South Carolina, there you go, tells me as a New England sports fan, I do not get to complain for another 10 years.
You know what? That's a good point. It's going to be an interesting one. At least there won't be. It should still be compelling down the stretch.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
All right. How about a little word on Patriots today, and then we'll talk about the down low.
Well, as you can imagine, we definitely have more analysis and discussion of the Matt Cassel injury. Talking actually to Paul Perillo, who we heard on these airwaves or web waves earlier, and we also have some other some player sound from the locker room and a few other interesting features. Actually, one particularly interesting feature from a very interesting player, a fairly record-breaking wide receiver that'll be interesting to see. So
nice.
Check out Patriots Today later on today on Patriots.com.
And the Fantasy Lowdown
will debut on Thursday, 4 to 5, right here. Very excited about it. Get your emails ready. We're going to talk fantasy football.
Good stuff.
On Thursday.
Way to go, B-Lo.
Thank you, John.
Good to
meet
you.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Yeah, I just can't argue with that. So what?
It's hard to argue anything with Christina.
Right.
You can't argue with Christina.
Good point.
We don't argue with Christina.
No, we don't.
Right? All right, so Brian Morey is actually coming up next. Welcome back, Brian Morey, for the Hall. We're gonna the name of the program is officially In the Hall, correct? And Brian Morey, who's now the new executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place, will be back on the airwaves here. So he's going to come by next, and he'll do this with you. And we'll be back same bat time, same patch time, same patch channel, mañana for our next edition of Patriots Playbook.